Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Shall we be very practical for a moment? God expects mankind to work for a living. Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Friend, work is not a curse because man had sinned, as sometimes people think. Work was given to man before sin entered into the world. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, Genesis 2:15. And there are blessings in work. There are rewards from work. Work is a necessity of life. It is good for the members of the human family to work. Youth is a period of life beset with making decisions. They have to decide where to attend school, especially if they attend college. They will decide whom they marry and where they will live. And of course, the biggest and most important decision is what they do about Jesus Christ. And they choose their friends. They also select an occupation whereby they work to earn their livelihood. It is not easy for a young person to make all these decisions, but they are thrust upon them nonetheless. And some of their decisions may not prove to be the right ones. Some are of such a nature that they can be changed without too much damage, but others they cannot change because they have eternal consequences connected with them. There are decisions with which they will have to live now and eternally. But our lesson deals with choosing an occupation, a vocation, the machinery for making a living. It is not possible for anyone else to tell another just exactly what they ought and ought not do in this matter. Each has different talents and should develop them and learn to use them. But there are a few basic principles that ought to be considered when one selects his occupation, because a person's occupation vitally affects his life and his attitude and his associates, and ultimately can even have an effect upon one's eternal destiny. We would like to encourage young men to honestly consider being a preacher of the gospel. Through the years, one's ideas may change regarding what he has done in his own life, but I am sure I would never have been content to have ever done anything else than try to preach the gospel of Christ. No, I do not contend that everybody ought to be what sometimes we call a full-time preacher. Even though there are advantages in that, there are also some severe handicaps. There is something that all must work for themselves, however, and that is to consider our own talents and our own circumstances and use them to the very best of our ability. Nonetheless, I would persuade that young men ought to train themselves to some extent to be able to publicly preach the word, even if he earns the bulk of his livelihood another way. The world is lost. It needs to know of the Savior. We do not look with favor on the growing concept of a clergy among brethren. And too often what seems to be produced in our colleges today is a clergy class, so perceived by both preacher and congregation, and this is not as Scripture authorizes. What has been called the pastor's system has overtaken many congregations, which simply means that the preacher just about dominates everything, and he either does run it or has run everything, and everybody looks to him for just about whatever goes on or does not go on. And such a thing is not God's government for the church, but young men, early in life, ought to resolve that they will learn how to deliver discourses and the truth before others. He never knows what opportunities and duties may be before him in life when he will be sorely needed for just such a work. The harvest is great and the laborers are few. Now, preaching is not a lucrative work with financial gain, except in rare instances. Those who approach the work of preaching because of finances are likely in for a big disappointment. Now, God will provide, but you can't always count on your brethren. Experience has shown me, as I observe these high-salary preachers, that they become little more than program promoters, yes-men to other people, seeking popularity above truth, and they'll compromise it in order to maintain their gain. Now, there may be some exceptions. It has not been my experience to know them, however. But preaching offers other opportunities. It is true that often you're either praised or you're damned, and sometimes both at the same time. But there are rewards that money cannot buy. What is it worth to influence a soul to be saved? How many dollars can you be given to match the joy of seeing some fallen brother restored because of the efforts you put forth? It is true, no amount of money can compensate for the bruises and tears that will often come your way. The constant insecurity and badgering will be something with which you have to live daily. But what a satisfaction to know that you are involved in the greatest work on earth. And you can do this without depending upon brethren for your support if you can provide some other way. But young men ought to be encouraged to train themselves with ability and knowledge to preach. They may well earn their living some other way, but they ought to be able to preach and teach the Word of God. And as for our young ladies, we feel sorry for them in the last part of this century and the first part of this new one. When there's such a mad thrust in the world against the most honorable and noble task a woman can fill, and I refer to being a homemaker, rearing children, taking care of her husband and her children, keeping the home, and all the glamour girls and career types that seem to have it made, some seem to think, it's not that way at all. But no honest person can deny that women leaving their number one God-given task and going into the marketplaces and competing in this materialistic rush has caused a deadly rise in the destruction of the home and marriage and stability and security of children and all of this that is now plaguing our nation. Leaving the home for lesser pursuits has been at the root of many frustrated, ill-kept, and neglected children that turn delinquent. It has caused havoc in the homes of our nation. It has hurt the economy and the availability of jobs for men to support their families. I know that many will think this is old-fashioned and terribly chauvinistic, but the hell and havoc that it has caused by the push of women from their homemaking careers have proven beyond question that God's way is best, and society is composed of too many fools who think women are nothing but female men. The old saying says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world," and it is still true. That many hands have forsaken the cradle is one major cause for the sad plight of our world. There are no two occupations available to the human family that can surpass the glory of preaching the gospel and making a home where Christ reigns supreme. But there are many other occupations that one can have in which he can bring glory to God and fulfill his obligations in life. Whatever honorable task for which one trains, he ought to try to do his best to succeed by being as good at that work as he possibly can be. As Solomon said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. It is unfortunate that many measure success only in terms of financial gain. Now that may be one measure, especially in some fields. But one can have a great financial success and be a failure at things that are more important. You can be as poor as the proverbial Job's turkey and be a success. And you can be the man of the year and be a failure. You can be a ditch digger or a garbage man or a surgeon or a big financier and be a success or a failure either way. When you are pondering your occupation, there are serious matters to be considered, and one measure you dare not omit is the influence on eternity. Real success must be measured in terms of the effect your vocation will have on your soul. Whatever secular task you undertake will eventually pass from the scene. That which lasts beyond this life is what really counts. And you may have an excellent job with big money and much prestige and glamour, but friend, if you fail to serve God, you've missed it. Others may respect you, they may stand in awe of what you have accomplished, and even after your life is over, they might talk about it. But if you have not lived for God in Christ, you've messed it up. You can live for Christ and enjoy financial success in many occupations, and on the other hand, you may work hard and gain little and have no notoriety and pass from this life almost unnoticed. But if you have lived a life for the Lord, you are the most successful of all persons. You will have an eternal life in heaven. Of the two kinds of lives that are open to you, which do you really believe is best? What am I saying here is that whatever occupation you choose, first and always first, be a Christian. There was an elder with whom I once worked that I greatly respected because of the kind of man he seemed to be. This man's name was Charles Hoggett. I heard Brother Hoggett say to a man once when he was asked what he did for an occupation, he says, "I work for God, and I am an accountant at the U.S. Rubber Company to pay my bills." Now, he was not boasting. He was not being self-righteous. He was simply expressing his view toward his job. I suggest that he had the right view, and we would do well to have the same attitude. I have found it neither best nor practical to simply uphold various occupations before young people before they learn some basic lessons. Anyone can name over a host of jobs that may be attractive and pay well and offer rewards in many ways. Specific job descriptions ultimately do come into play. Not in this particular lesson, however. But there are some fundamental do's and don'ts that are in order. Choose a work that renders some service and benefit to mankind. Jesus taught service as the way to greatness. Service is characteristic of a Christian. Do not let your ambitions be purely selfish in nature. Think what you can do for others. Let not fame and fortune be your motive, but service. And as stated earlier, make up your mind to go at your job with your very best. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, Colossians 3 and verse 23. And you may never be the best in your field, but you can be the best that you can be. And do not worry if somebody can do better. Be glad for their success and their ability. Just do what you can do as well as you can do it. And that's what God expects after all. Does not the parable of the talents teach us this in Matthew 25? And do not take a job that interferes with you being a faithful Christian. Do not take a job that runs against your conscience, for this also is sinful. Romans 14:23. And keep the worship services in mind. There are some fields of endeavor that Christians cannot pursue and should not promote. He cannot encourage sin, nor should he advance the influence of sinful things. Better to be paid less and work harder than to assist the cause of the devil in any way. Keep your occupation in perspective. Never let it become first with you in life. It does not belong before your family and the church or your health. It is a necessity. But put your trust in the Lord's providence when he has promised, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Neglect of the things that are most important, even for things that are somewhat important, is getting things mixed up. And remember, friend, you are privileged to earn and to work. It's a blessing from God. Your earnings compose a part of your stewardship. Remember God with whatever comes under your possession and control. And actually, everything belongs to God, and you dare not withhold from him what is his. Yes, you can be an honor before all mankind, and an honor unto God, by the way you go about your job. Do it with all of your might. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.